GAA podcast on RTE.ie, sponsored by Optimum Nutrition. No matter your goal, if you're putting it in, we'll help you get more out. Optimum Nutrition, the official performance nutrition partner of the Gaelic Players Association.
Possession crucial from this. How much longer will the referee allow? Dublin lead by a point. And there's the whistle. It's over. It's over.
We earned it by winning the last two matches on the road, and that's not going to be taken away from us.
But what I love in hurling, I love players that will never give in.
He hits it. He hits it. What? It's over the bar.
Hello everyone and welcome along to our latest episode of the RTE GAA podcast. Shane McGrath will be along later on to chat hurling with myself and Rory, but Ryan McCluskey is with us now to chat football. And no doubt about it, big weekend and the biggest one of all, Derry Galway. I think it's just hard to see Derry and a performance like that, Ryan, when we were waiting for them for so long, for so many weeks to come back into it. They just, I don't know. I think they took a lot of people by surprise with the flatness of that performance at the weekend.
Yeah, and that flatness, and it was just frustration probably more than anything else as well. You know, and it was probably summed up by that McKinless incident. You know, when it was silliness, you know, from himself, and I'm sure he's been frustrated. You know, he probably hasn't played a lot of football throughout the league campaign as well. But it just looked a bit flat. And the Derry that we're accustomed to seeing, you know, that are so, I suppose, disciplined in terms of their attack and their defence. It just didn't happen for them, you know. And it's not to say that they probably didn't have an innings back into the game. You know, I think it was 113 to 13 points. And before Galway broke for that second goal, you know, they probably were still actually in the game. And I don't know whether that was a testament to, you know, themselves in terms of their character and kind of just clawing their way back into their game, or maybe the fact that Galway just maybe were again just kind of bringing players back, and over the last number of weeks that they've started to get a couple of their big names back in the pitch. But it was just disappointing. There's just something there at the moment, and you know, we look at the injuries, like their half back line has been decimated, you know. And we're just looking at the likes of, you know, Doherty's gone, McAvoy's gone, Paddy McGrogan's out for the season. So, you know, there's a real lack of consistency just overall in their gameplay and in their squad and in their actual team as well, you know. And I think that's just kind of drip fed onto the pitch as well. So it's been very disappointing.
Yeah. Is it that, Rory? Is it that they've just lost too many leaders in that group and that's why, or is there more to it?
It's hard to put your finger on it. They had incredible momentum all through the league. And then you're wondering, they go into an Ulster Championship after winning. If you look at what the journey that they, as a group, prior to the current management that they've been on. So they won Division 4, Division 3, I think maybe. They just got promotion from maybe Division 2. And then they obviously won the Division 1 National League. They won back-to-back Ulster titles. Didn't make an All-Ireland final last year. So their standard and bare minimum ambition now is to really go after the All-Ireland and at least make an All-Ireland final. They actually thought they started the game reasonably well. The wheels just came off way too easily and way too quickly. Now, the sending off had a huge effect, but they've no one to blame for that but themselves, really. And your discipline is absolutely key, I think, in fairness to Brendan Cawley. And I think it was the linesman that spotted it. It was a good spot, because sometimes these things aren't easy to spot. But look, I don't know. I think the big worry for them now is they'll start to question everything. And that'll probably start maybe drifting into the supporters as well, you know. And you wouldn't be surprised to see the worm turn a little bit.
I think there's going to be a backlash as well, Rory, because that sending off was such a flashpoint and it was so bad and it looked reckless. And I think that even though there was such momentum behind Derry and everybody felt like, yeah, they're going places and we're all behind them, I think that could turn now on the basis of that.
Big time. And he could, like, the chances are, like, that's not a one game suspension. It's a minimum two. So that's the end of his round robin. Now, look, the reality as well with this, Jackie, is, I put this out on Twitter. I very rarely tweet anymore. And I may sound like a broken record on this, but their season should really be on the line now. They should be backs against the wall, knowing next game have to win. But they don't. They can afford to go out and lose this next game and still make knockout football. after losing in the first round of Ulster, getting beaten by a resurgent Galway, who I think deserve an awful lot of credit as well, by the way, and we shouldn't forget that in this instance. But it kind of goes back to a conversation that we had on the pod a couple of weeks ago. And this isn't like, you know, oh, I told you so and all this type of stuff. I do still believe that the Ulster Championship, while it is an amazing competition, I'm not entirely sold on the quality. And I would have privately felt that the top four teams in the country are Dublin, Kerry, Galway, Mayo in advance of the All-Ireland. And nothing has really dissuaded me from that. Donegal may be the fly in the ointment, but I think from Derry's perspective, you know, it's a big horse to jump back up onto now.
Okay, there's a lot to pick up on that. Can I ask you first about the McInnes incident, Ryan? Because, I mean, it's just another flashpoint that they could do without. And then on Rory's point about the Ulster teams in general, because I think when we come on to some of the others, Derry were not the only Ulster team to disappoint this weekend. So pick that one up too.
Listen, you know, McInnes incident, I just think he probably was frustrated himself. I don't think he'd actually started the game overly well. And listen, it's frustrating from a playing perspective. You know, he hasn't been, you know, a regular fixture in the team over the last number of weeks as well. And months in terms of, you know, the league, and he hasn't really hit any form. And it's just a moment of madness. And listen, you know, he will be frustrated. Clearly, you know,
but this season could be over now, Ryan.
It is as well, and you kind of feel then, you know, for the player because of the season being so condensed as well. And I know we talked about that and hinted on that as well. You know, where he could be looking at his county season being over, and I've unfortunately done it myself in terms of you know you've had that frustration and the little moment of madness, and I do believe it wasn't trying to be malicious, and there was nothing. You know, that he was trying to do to you know, Damien Comer. He wasn't trying to kind of, you know, do anything that was going to leave him out for months or weeks, whatever the case was. I think it was just, you know, as I said, that frustration that has crept into not just his game, maybe the whole Derry kind of squad at the moment. And, you know, they're facing Armagh next. Rory has made a good point as well, where we only end up losing, only was it 3-4 teams at the end of this kind of phase as well. So, you know, that's something we can probably touch on and go back into, you know, this kind of phase as well of football. In terms of then Galway, I suppose we're kind of fast-forwarding to them. I'm sure Joyce will be happy in terms of it. I think I've seen somewhere where he has 12 league and championship wins out of 16 against Ulster teams. So
yeah, it's a remarkable record.
I think he'd be happy with that. He'd want to play in maybe Ulster next year, or maybe turn the time down here. But again, you know, Jackie, you're completely right. You know, maybe we put Ulster on a pedestal when we're up here when it comes to, you know, those big knockout days and championship football. And we only have to look at the results, obviously, over the weekend and see, the clinic that Mayo put on against, you know, some people described it as a facile, you know, Cavan performance. And listen,
What happened to Monaghan. Look at what happened to Monaghan, right?
So Kerry were out of sight after, you know, well, 15, 5, maybe 10 minutes, you know, in that game as well. So, you know, as much as we lauder our championship down here and we do, you know, say it is, and it still is, listen, let's face it, it is probably one of the best provincial championships.
That is the best football one, Yeah.
But however,
you know, the only thing is, though, there's little consequence because Rory is right. Even if Derry lose that game at the weekend, they still only have to win one game and they get out. It's actually more around the mental side of how you recover from a defeat like that. Similar situation with Monaghan and with Cavan. It's more what the consequences are. And I think to your point, Rory, that's where the difficulty lies. If Derry were having to come out next weekend and beat Armagh, then you're in a completely different championship phase.
Yeah.
And I think it was even reflected in some of the attendances. I mean, the Saturday game, we're showing a lot of these games on Saturday night. And like, one of the things that was immediately striking to me was there was a lot of sparsely populated terraces and stands because people aren't fools. They know that these games don't really matter just yet. And I understand and I accept that our concept of championship has changed. I absolutely accept that. But has it changed? Has the balance shifted so far over to a state whereby you could effectively lose 3 to 4 matches before you're evicted from the championship. It doesn't give that cutthroat. Like, if Derry were in that situation on Saturday, whereby only 2 teams went through, or, you know, and they had lost that game, I guarantee it'd be a much bigger crowd there for a start. And I guarantee you there would be a lot more riding on it. And it, like, even the Monaghan Kerry game, it felt like a league game. It felt like two teams that were, I've actually seen league games with more, with more sense of oomph about it, you know? And I don't know. I just thought it was very disappointing from Derry. I do believe though, Jackie, Galway are right back in this. Like,
yeah,
I mean,
can we have a yeah, conversation about them?
Nine different scorers.
Yeah.
They have a very good depth on their panel, in their bench. They seem to have gotten their mojo back. There's a sort of a re-emergence and a resurgence coming. Joyce himself looks revitalized. Mm-hmm. Everybody loves Galway because they usually do play a very attractive brand of football, and they've got so many quality players and particularly quality forwards. So I think it's a good thing for football to see them now, you know, riding the crest of wave. But, you know, like, it's one step, and we'll see how they get on the next day.
Yeah, well, look, there's two things in that. One is depending on Comer's injury and how available he's going to be, Ryan. But the other thing is, you look the way that they came through the league. They were teetering on the brink of relegation there at one point, but they managed to pull it out of the bag. They survived without 8, 9, 10 players at times. The job that Pádraig Joyce has done over the last few weeks to not only get them through that phase, but to now put them in a position where they're suddenly contenders again. And I know that might be big talk at this point of the season, Ryan, but I do think they'll feel we're Connacht champions again. We're in control of our position now. They could be top seeds coming out of their group. And get a rest week as well. I think he'll feel like he's in the prime position here, actually.
Yeah, and we probably questioned a number of weeks ago, you know, where he was at in terms of it was going to be a massive, you know, summer for him. They've been boosted and you know, completely bolstered by that Connacht win, obviously, over Mayo as well. And you're right, you know, without the likes of Comer, I think we had Walsh, Kelly, Tierney, Conroy, there was a lot of names, Finnerty, missing throughout that league campaign. And for those players to be coming back in at the right time, listen, because we know that the summer is of all importance for those players to be coming back is a massive boost to obviously any squad. And we do all like Galway as well. You know, there's something there as well, Rory. I you know, from an Ulster perspective, there is. I don't know, maybe we like holidaying down in Galway. I don't know, you know, down in Salt Hill.
It's a good party town.
It's a good party town, maybe that's what it is. But no, listen, it is great to see them, you know, back in contention and looking like, you know, those players, because again, you know, we talk about the likes of Comers and Walshes and stuff as well. They have been hampered over the last number of years by injuries as well. So, you know, for them as well, you know, I think they're, what, 29, 30, 31, maybe some of them as well, and around that age. So, you know, from a playing perspective as well, you know, it's good to see them back on the pitch to be able to give, you know, their best, yeah, with the Galway jersey on. So, and we have to give, yeah, Joyce credit as well, because it was a job that we were probably questioning a number of weeks ago, and for him to turn it around, you know, as well, you have to give him credit as well, and he'd be looking forward to the next number of weeks and hopefully pushing that squad on as well.
Mm. What about the other games then, lads? Let's look at them. Kerry Monaghan, Mayo Cavan, Clare Cork, other three games at the weekend. And I think maybe for Kerry, Rory, they didn't, again, similar situation. I mean, Ryan said it there. The game was gone so early that Kerry didn't really even have to get out of third gear. I think this is probably a facet we're going to see over from Kerry over the next couple of weeks. And maybe they'll just feel that they're just tweaking small little things. What way do you think Jack O'Connor is feeling after this weekend?
I think Jack O'Connor is probably going to say, by the time they get to the knockout stages, he's going to go, the biggest tests we'll have gotten will have been in the Munster Championship. you know, that will probably be the reality. Monaghan would largely be considered to be the next best team in that group. Now, we'll see what happens with Louth.
I think Louth might give them a bit more than people think, based on the Dublin game anyway.
They were annihilated last year by Kerry. But, like, look, Jackie, we know, living next door to them, Kerry can do that. Yeah, if you run into Kerry on the wrong day, you catch them in a mood, and you know, wow, you know, yeah.
But they
were in the mood, weren't they? Yeah, they were in the mood.
Exactly. And as Louth showed against Dublin, if you try to go out and play football against them and try to play an open game, you're going to get hammered. But then look, the lessons they learned this year, suddenly from 21 points, you're into 6 points. If they do something similar to Kerry and set up like that, that's a different game as well.
Yeah. And like, they're not scoring goals, but they're still creating loads of goal scoring chances. So I wouldn't necessarily be all that worried from that point of view either. I think Jack O'Connor gave a very casual, downbeat interview. Happy enough for the first half now. Happy enough. I know it was 18-15-2. Like, and then, you know, a couple of issues with our second half display, but I think they're in great shape. Like, they had, it might even poach one or two off that under-20s team that obviously were beaten. Dale will probably be graduated into the panel to bolster the competition within the squad. They've definitely got one or two players in there that they could graduate up and just improve things. They set themselves up. They put on a bit of an exhibition at times and they got no challenge. It was very, very disappointing from Monaghan, and difficult one for them now to pick themselves up off the floor, because they haven't won a match since the opening day against Dublin in Croke Park, going all the way back to January. And it's just, they look to me like a team that's creaking a small bit in their transition mode of a lot of the older players that have been incredible servants, Darren Hughes, Kieran Hughes, Manzi, the Rory Beggins, the Wileys. They're now starting to, more, a lot of these guys now are exiting stage left. The younger players will take time to find their feet. And look, unfortunately, they ran into a haymaker on Saturday. And as I said, Kerry will do that, if they're in the mood.
Mm. The only thing is for Monaghan, though, Ryan, they'll still look at those two games against Meath and Louth and say we can win those games and come through anyway. You know, again, to go back to that mental side of things, yes, they haven't won a game in a long time, but they've got two games coming up that they feel that they can and probably should win.
Yeah, and I think we were lauding them actually after that Dublin game. Actually, that first
feels a long time ago now.
It feels like absolutely, you know, an eternity. You know, I know Vinnie Corey came out after the game and he was disappointed clearly with the first half. I think they were down 16-2 and it was a clinic by Kerry. You know, they'd done so much right. I actually loved watching Paul Gainey. He was brilliant at the weekend and in terms of class, he was knitting a lot of their attacks together. He just seemed to be, you know, well, and as we know when we talk about listening with Kerry, that there's so much firepower, you know, coming from everywhere as well. But he just seemed to be, you know, one of the key elements at the weekend. I just loved watching his movement, some of their patterns of play, even attacking wise, because Monaghan did, you know, get numbers back. They had numbers back and tried to defend, you know, against them. But you're right, they can be absolutely devastating on, you know, on their day. But Monaghan, you know, will feel aggrieved that they had a goal chance actually at the start of the game. If you can think back, I think it was McCarthy getting at the start of the game. It was a brilliant pass. And you never know if they get that goal. What happens? Maybe it just settles them a little bit. But it was a devastating performance by Monaghan by Kerry. Monaghan did win the second half. Sorry, that's what Finny Corey had come out after the game and said he was happy with, you know, that turnaround. But there has been such a transition in players. You know there has been such a turnaround that, you know, they have to regroup now. They will look at those games. Listen, there's no point saying they won't. They'll know Louth. You know, they'll have done their homework on Louth. Yeah, they have a match against Meath, which they think they'll get something out of as well. And again, it goes back to the conversation we had earlier on. It'll probably not be until that last game where maybe the excitement will be, you know, drawn towards what will happen next. You know, so I'm not sure who they have next. Is it Meath or Louth? Sorry, next. I don't know which one it is.
I need to check that. I don't have it in front of me.
But again, that could lead to maybe a playoff in that last game as well. But they need to get wins. They need to get wins fast. And like any other habit, you know, you just winning's a habit. You know, getting beat's a habit. And unfortunately, they need to start winning and winning is possible.
Mm. Well, speaking of winning, Mayo getting back to winning ways again, Rory, when you look at their performance against Cavan, again, similar situation. Cavan completely outplayed, I think, 9 points in the end of it. And I think just for Mayo to get back on the horse after losing in Connacht was the most important thing. And it sounded like that's what Kevin was even saying after the game as well.
Yeah, and I think that's as much as Kevin could have hoped for. You know, I think, again, a game that was probably over as a contest quite early. Mm-hmm. But Mayo went out and got the job done. I think we spoke last week about maybe the supporters are a little bit unsure of the style that Mayo are trying to implement under Kevin. Are they getting maybe caught between a couple of different stools? I think, look, the reality on Saturday was they were just a class above Cavan, but they still had a job to do. I mean, like, if you look at it, Cavan weren't that far off making Division One. And Mayo obviously, you know, flittered around Division One. So, like, in real terms, if you're taking league football as your barometer, which I think comes with a massive health warning, by the way, you know, Cavan probably should have been slightly more competitive. No, look, Paddy Lynch is a huge miss, but ultimately, defensively, it was where Cavan really fell down. And to rack up 20 points, that's good scoring again. It does show, I suppose, between Mayo, between Kerry, I think we potentially see it as well next week with Dublin. The teams that are kind of playing at the elite level really with a realistic chance of winning Sam Maguire, when we start to get to this business and serious end of football, the gap and the chasm between the sort of haves and the have-nots become very pronounced, and very pronounced very quickly. And I think Mayo show that in spades. I think they haven't gone anywhere. They're, to me, themselves and Galway are par for par, and they're going to have, I think Mayo are in for a long summer.
Are they still in your mind as contenders, Ryan?
Rory's right in terms of we kind of don't know what Mayo are going to turn up, you know, and I think I share that even from watching them most weeks. It's just that level of consistency. We don't really see any kind of clear signs. But again, listen, that can maybe work in their favour in terms of they can turn up most weeks and play in different styles to win games. And I suppose that's what makes, you know, the top sides, you know, really up there as well. And like 20 points to the weekend. I think they're 12 wides on top of that, you know, as well. So, you know, brilliant to see Killian O'Connor back. And I think he contributed 11 or 12 as well at the weekend. Ryan O'Donoghue, I think he had 7. It was great to see those two back as well. I think Durkin went off injured, you know, so that is a concern for Mayo as well. And but it was a game that was over after about 15 minutes. Rory's right as well. I think they were 5-6 clear, and that was the game over. And if you look at their league positions, as Rory alluded to as well, you know, you're just looking at that kind of Cavan side and thinking, you know, yes, they had an opportunity of obviously getting promoted, and you're just sitting going, you know, where are they at the moment? It's just Mayo are too good. And if we look at the top sides, you know, and those top four or five sides in Division One, you know, they are there for a reason. You know, the league tables don't lie. And you're right, when it comes to the business end of the season, you know, they will not be far away. And if we're going to include Galway in that as well, I don't know if there will be a resurgence from this Derry side. But for me, you're probably ring fencing, you know, your Corks,
we're very realistic, not your Kerry's, your Galway's,
your Dublin's, your Mayo's, you know, you're looking at those kind of sides and saying, you know, do you see anybody maybe sneaking in, maybe Donegal, let's see how they perform, maybe a resurgent Armagh side who will be looking to that Derry game to really boost their season as well. So you probably have 5-6 teams possibly that are going to kick on. And yeah, we have to include Mayo at this stage. It just looks like they're going through the gears. And they're going to come up with something we don't know. You know, it's been that inconsistent as well. So, you know, that's
I think their next game against Dublin probably tells a lot as well, because after Dublin play Roscommon, and you'd expect them to get the victory there this weekend, I think that's probably the perfect barometer for them, isn't it? Just to get a good shot out against the Dubs at this stage.
Do we know where that game is, Jackie?
And actually I was asking Lee, and I was saying to him, I was like, sure, come here, he'd love to go to Croke Park. And he was like, if it was anybody else, we'd be like, absolutely, you know. So I think Mayo fans would love the crack at that. But they were talking about several different places. I think he mentioned Tullamore to me as one option, a few others. But I think, the venue there is going to be crucial. But
it's a very interesting, but it's a difficult decision for the GAA, because, like, the reality is you're talking two teams that have massive support bases, right? So you're going to have to pick a venue that is going to be able to at least try and cater for it. And
yeah,
you don't have that many in in Leinster outside of Croke Park. Really,
well, take a Thurles or a Limerick or whatever, and you're thinking 40,000 people would be unbelievable for that.
Yeah, like I think Thurles would be very interesting. It'd be like a real throwback to the time Dublin played Kerry there in those famous quarterfinals. But yeah, it'd be interesting to see where that game gets fixed for. Now, having said all that, they'll probably play it in Croke Park.
Well, look, let's finish off on that remaining game then. Cork contenders now, as Ryan says, not many messing. I think we probably knew it was going to be tight, Rory. You know, a 2-point game in the end, even though there's obviously gaps between these two teams in league form. I think, you know, we had outlined this on the podcast. This was always going to be tight. And this was actually, you know, the tightest game of the weekend in when you look at the actual results of it. And I think it probably was always going to be that case.
Exactly. It was always going to be a 50-50 game. It was a lot of Cork people in Ennis for the weekend because the under 20 hurlers were playing there on Friday night.
Great footballers, game too.
Mm. Brilliant game actually. And the footballers were there obviously on Saturday, and then the hurlers, the senior hurlers up to Thurles. So there was plenty of travel over the weekend. But I think Eamon did a very interesting piece, I felt, on Cork on the Saturday game nighttime programme, where he felt that there was a sort of just a bit of homework to be done, things to tidy up. I think that would be born out of the tension that was attached to this fixture. Because if you go back to last year when Cork were in a similar situation, they had to go on, they knew in a group that contained Kerry, Mayo and Louth that the Louth fixture was going to be the key one. Again, away from home. And they dug one out, right? I actually felt that relieved an awful lot of pressure. They knew more or less at that stage then they were going to be playing knockout football one way or the other. We won't talk about the format, right? But they knew. And I think what that did was it just allowed them to relax a little bit, which I think resulted in a really encouraging performance against Kerry, lost by 2, debatable black card penalty against Sean Powter aside, and obviously turned Mayo over in the Gaelic grounds 2 weeks later. So it sort of released the shackles from them a small bit, knowing that they're going to really certainly achieve bare minimum in terms of ambition for the year. And I think we could see something similar this time around. Now, it's a very different challenge. They're going to be facing two Ulster teams, Donegal at home and Tyrone in a neutral venue, potentially maybe Portlaoise or Moore Park or somewhere. But I think we'll see an incremental improvement from here. And I think some of the things that Eamon picked up on, I think, were down to nerves, tension, the fact that, look, there was an awful lot on the line in this game. And I think Cork will improve as the championship goes on. What's the ceiling for them? Look, I suppose the bare minimum is to try and get back to a quarter final, because that's where they have been for the last number of years. But I don't know if there's more than that on the table, really, given the competition out there.
But I think, though, Ryan, that probably, if you ask John Cleary privately, publicly, maybe he'll say two different things. But actually, winning this game and getting out of the group is a result in a lot of ways, if you want to look at it from Cork's season. Yes, they want to get back to Division One football. Yes, they want to be progressing through the All-Ireland series. But if you're taking the small hurdles, winning that Clare game was probably the biggest one he needed to clear at this point of the season. And he's done that.
And you know, Rory's right. You just release the shackles and you're free to express yourself probably for the rest of the year as well. Cork's another one of those sides. I know Miss Knight family down there as well. So it's a side we always want to see do well. A bit like Galway as well, you know, from an Ulster perspective. And if two Ulster teams coming up, I think it would be brilliant just for them to kind of gauge where they're at, you know, especially against Donegal. And yes, we don't know what we're going to see from Throne. They're another one of those sides that are inconsistent, and they'll bring in some of the under 21s after their All-Ireland final win at the weekend as well. So, you know, John Cleary's side, he'll look forward to that quarter-final kind of stage. But, and I suppose this is the beauty of and the nature of the competition as well. I know we give off about it at times, but, you know, having that first win now, he can probably start looking at it and say, right, what do we need for the quarter-final? You know, will he look at other players? Will he change things up over the next number of weeks if there are players, you know, come back from injury as well? You know, there's so many permutations, you know, that can happen now over the next number of weeks. But it was a game that they would have targeted and said, listen, you know, if we can get through Clare, we can kind of let the shackles off, see how we get on against our Donegal. Brilliant test, yes, again against Tyrone. But again, it'll set them up for that quarter final, and that is the beauty of the competition as well. You know, so as much as we give off about it at different times, you can really set a benchmark and play with it, I suppose, more than anything else.
Yeah, well, look, we'll see what this group throws up at the weekend with that other remaining fixture between Donegal and Tyrone and a couple of other great games to look ahead to at the weekend as well, which we will do on Thursday. But we'll leave the football there for now. Ryan, thanks a million for being with us.
He hits it. It's over the bar. Oh, holy Moses.
Okay, time to chat hurling now. And Shane McGrath is with us. And I'd imagine one of the worst places you want to wake up in the morning on a Sunday is in Tipperary after the weekend. I give me a sense of how you're feeling, Shane, after something like that.
Yeah, there's a great, Jordach Nain had a great quote. He said, some people say hurling isn't very important in the scheme of things, but to hurling people, hurling is the scheme of things. And I suppose somewhere like Tip, hurling is the scheme of things. Nobody has died or anything, but it certainly has that kind of feeling around the place that, you know, that what just happened, or it does get people down, Jackie, to be honest. And that's just the way it is. Like, you know, I'm sure it's the same in your own places, in your own sports. And it just means so much to people that, like, I went to the match yesterday, my wife Joanne, my mother, my brother Cormac, who's actually involved with the Tip Miners tonight, but hopefully we're going in to watch them now in Limerick in a while, so hopefully we'll have a bit better news there, and my godson Aaron, and like, he's kind of 14 now, he's kind of really getting into it and starting to understand the thing. Even he's saying, like, you know, like, there just wasn't that heart in it, like, there wasn't that passion. I was on the radio yesterday, it was so hard, like, to even talk about it, especially when your own county's involved. But look, not to get too down about it, but it was just, again, similar to the Limerick thing, just the manner of the defeat. Like, it was, like, I've been played matches where you're opening in a field, you know, for a GA club or something, but, you know, two inter-county teams. And the last 10, 15 minutes of some of those games was probably more intense than what we watched in Turles yesterday. And you don't want to be too
Why?
Critical.
Why?
I just don't know, like, for a lot of them, like, I don't know, you can't say, okay, say, like, you're talking to people about it, like, who could be playing for Tip that's not playing for Tip? There's not many, Jackie. Like, everybody in there, like, everyone that should be playing is probably in there. Maybe one or two people will say, the lad from our club or lad from this club. But everyone that should be there is in there, right? That's the first thing. So it's not as if, like, there's seven or eight lads that should be in there that aren't. I just don't know what it is, like, I mean, like, dude, like, you can't keep saying it's management all the time, like, or you know, or I don't know, you see. I just don't know, because I'm not involved, and I genuinely, hand in my heart, wouldn't ask lads were involved. And but for me, like, when you, like, I suppose we were always told, when we step on behind, when you step beyond the white line, it really is down to you, like, you know, regardless of what's happening otherwise, it really is down to you, what you want to do and how much you want to play. And I just don't know, are we seeing it, like, at the moment with the current group, like, and that's hard for me to say, Jackie, like, you know what I mean? Lads who I would have hurled with, I don't think they owe anything to me. I really don't. I don't think anyone can say that Norm McGrath was at fault yesterday. I don't think anyone can say, like, the brought on Bonner, like, you know what I mean? Like,
Is it worrying though, Shane, that they're still the people that they're going to? And some of those people you're talking about, like, they're legends of Tipperary. Bonner, Noel, John McGrath. None of these people owe Tipperary hurling anything. I guess my fear, looking from the outside in, is it's still those people. They're so reliant on them to come in and try to close out the game. And when they can't do it, what are you looking to now? Because it seems to me the stars of the future were not helping either yesterday, you know?
No, and like, say, like, Sheedy, like, I mean, people were saying to Sheedy, like, in 19 even, like, you're still picking the Paddies and the Brendans and all these guys. But sure, he's picking them because they were the best players.
Yeah.
And they went away and they delivered it, like. But, like, we can't keep asking them, lads. But, like, there seems to be, I just don't know, does it mean enough to everyone? I just don't know, Jackie, like, because there's tactics and there's everything. But, like, just chase a lad down, you know? Chase him down. Like it happened several times yesterday where Conor Lehan came on at one stage. He touched the ball down to himself and he thought a ruck was going to develop, right? He looked around, there was no one around him. Time to pick up the ball. He actually had so much time, he put it wide. Shane Kingston came on, right, and scored. Well, he scored 4 points from play, and another shot he had a target. There was an advantage given and Hoggy scored a free. Like, he scored more from play coming on as a sub, like, because the whole thing was gone out of it. It was gone so flat. As soon as the second goal went in, I have it down here, 39 minutes, 117 to 114. Cathal Barrett signals out that, you know, he's in a bit of bother. The next sharp puck out goes Cathal. He loses the ball. He gets turned over and Alan Connolly scores a goal. And it's 217 to 114. And you can say what you like, Jackie. After that, the game's over.
But Cathal Barrett should have been gone before that.
Yeah, yeah. Cathal, like, he should have been, like, you know, because even in the play up to it, you know. So, you know, it's things like that as well. Like, you know, Johnny Ryan was on the bench. Like, he literally plays in that position. I don't know whose call that is, like, to get him off the field. Like, you know, I mean, it's just small. They're all small things. Like, were we, if those things had happened, were we good enough to be in contention? No, we weren't. And I'll be honest, I said it all week. My heart would have always said the Tip Boys, but my head was always saying Cork. Because of the way they ran at Limerick, they did it again yesterday. Shane Barrett, the way he ran at us. Shamey Harrity was excellent again. I thought 3 points from play, could have had 6 points from play. Obviously, Hoggy pitches in 1-9. Alan Connolly, we know what he does. And Brian Hayes, who was relatively quiet in the first half, had a roar in the second half. You know, he really, really does. But look, we could be here, we talk about this. We have to give credit to Cork. 4:30, 4:25 from play. Absolutely brilliant. They've done what they had to do. And I just wonder, like, are they just going to be so regretful of not even the Clare game? Because it was good against Clare. You know, it was better. It's probably the Waterford game that could cost them for a finish here, just because they didn't pick the best team. But from a Tip point of view, and, you know, we'll move on after this. I just don't know. Are we good enough, first of all? There's a bit of a rebuild, maybe, you know, and maybe we're too proud in Tip sometimes to maybe admit that maybe we're just not good enough at the moment. Our 20s are in the Munster final. Our minors are in the Munster final. Physically, those guys are seeing the advantages now of going in at 14, 15 years of age and doing things properly, like has been done in the road with Limerick there in recent times and other counties in Clare and Cork. And maybe it is going to take another few years for us to get back up there. Obviously, Limerick are an exception to the rule, lads, but I'm talking about the rest of us. Like, Cork are coming. They really, really are, lads. I mean, if they don't get through this year, they will have been so close again, and they are coming with the teams they have. Clare the same physically, you know, obviously Limerick are there, and over in Leinster as well, we see what's going on. But look, it was so disheartening yesterday, and it really was. Like, we understand losing. Lads, I played in 5 All-Ireland finals, you know what I mean? And, like, it was Kilkenny all the time, and I understand losing, like, but I mean, it's just the manner of the defeats is what I think is getting people down, to be totally honest. Not life or death down, but I'm just talking, chase the lad down. You know what I mean? Just get a hook or a block in. And again, there was some shots taken in the second half there by lads. And they looked up and there literally was no one inside 50 yards of the Cork goal to even hit it into. And I suppose, I don't know. It's just, yeah, look, it's a tough day for Tip Hurling fans. But look, well done, Cork. Brought savage support. Brought unreal support. And got behind their team. And you know what? If they don't get through, lads, There must be a great, great, good feeling, goodwill feeling towards the group. And if they do get through, lads, right? And if they do manage to get through this, I think watch them. I think they're going to take beating. Honestly, no, if they can get through once.
Yeah, it's funny the difference of 8 days, Rory, isn't it? You know, Cork are suddenly people's outside contenders saying, look what they're doing. And you look at Tipperary, and in the space of that period, everything has gone completely to pot. And Munster has been wild for so many reasons, but those two teams are just in completely different stratospheres after yesterday.
Polar opposites. I can't understand it, Jackie. You look at the situation they found themselves in last year. Drew with Limerick in a game I felt they probably should have won. Drew with Cork in a game they definitely should have won in Páirc Uí Chaoimh. Beat Clare in Ennis. Qualified, how they have gone from that with more or less the same personnel, same management to what we've seen this year. I think, I just can't understand it. Like, I was there yesterday. I left Semple Stadium elated by Cork's performance and very happy with the way they played. But what happened in the second half of that game is unacceptable. It is unacceptable for Tipperary hurling. I grew up on the legends and the fables of Cork Tip stories, the respect that Cork would have for Tip, the stories going back to the 60s, the Doyles bringing it right up to Hell's Kitchen, Nicky English. I was there in 91 when Tip came down to Páirc Uí Chaoimh. I could barely get up through the tunnel in the old Páirc Uí Chaoimh. It was that dangerous. There were so many people there. Right through, John Lahey, Babs, right up to Shane's team and Owen Kelly. I thought what happened in the second half yesterday besmirched the reputation of Tipperary hurling, and it is unacceptable. I think they gave up. You cannot do that. They have totally disconnected from their supporters. I don't know why. And where do they go from here? I don't think it's all doom and gloom. I think they suffered a similar defeat maybe in the 06 Munster final, and within 3 years with Shane's team, we're back in an All-Ireland again, and Tipperary can turn things around. But yesterday needs to be the starting point. And I read Eamon Sweeney this morning, and he mentioned a very good line about the fact that they have nothing to play for next week against Clare. They do. They do have something to play for. They're playing for that jersey, which I think they let it down. And I think they know that. And I think they have to come out next Sunday and give something back.
Well, it'd be interesting to see how many people come out to watch them, Shane, because Rory's right. It was like a home game in Thurles for Cork. I actually don't think I've ever seen so much red there, ever. And yeah, I've been in those terraces as a fan. It was extraordinary. Yeah. So what will they be like this Sunday?
Oh, look, I'll be honest, Jackie, right? I don't know. I think the supporters thing with Tip, like, to be totally honest, is it can be a cop-out, like, because when we were going well, there's days there like that that we would, and I'm talking about like when we were like winning Munster finals regularly, getting to all our finals. Like there'd be often days there in Thurles where we would be outnumbered. I remember like say, you'd be talking about like 2011 and 12, you're playing matches in 9, 10, 11, 12, playing matches in Thurles and you're playing Limerick, and Limerick would bring more supporters. I think the thing in Tip, and people are saying, oh, the Tip supporters, they want to support an honest team and hard working team. I don't. I think that a lot of Tip supporters are fine day supporters, and like they might be people now send messages underneath this now when it goes out later on and stuff like that. But I'm telling you that we need to get better as a county to support the teams in good times and bad. Like when things weren't going well for Limerick, like I always use them as an example. They always had great support. The Cork have had great support, lads. You know, like it's 19 years now, like since Cork won and learned, but they've had great support. And like Tip, there doesn't seem to be that connection there. You know, they'll go when the days are the bigger days, maybe. But you know, the likes of yesterday, like lads, I was up there, like looking left, looking down to the terrace to the left, all red. Terrace to the right, all red. I was in between Mark Landers and Jerk Hanning, two good Corkmen. I was getting it off Landers when the second goal was in, like, and you know, Jackie, what that commentary box is like. It's tidy at the best.
It's a tight space when you're on the wrong end of it.
So what could you say? You could say nothing. So it was like I said to him like it was an unofficial home game for Cork in that capacity. But look, I think there will be very, very little Tip people there for the Clare match next week. And you could say, right, you couldn't blame him, but like, you know, it is our team, like, you know, and I'm trying to go to matches as much as I can. If I'm not on duty somewhere else, I'll try and go to the matches and support the lads. But there doesn't seem to be, we're not the best support county. We're just not. And people say they don't want to go at the moment. That's fine. But I can tell you now, when things were going well, they weren't going either. So Look, who'll be there, Jackie? I don't know. And look, the other thing, and quickly, we want to go on, as I know you want to go on, but what Tip team, I'm talking about physically, what people are going to play against Clare next week. Is Liam Callum just going to turn around and say, okay, lads, for a few of you, it's done now. All right. And we need to look forward. And he's in his second year of a 3-year term. And is he going to be there next year? I don't know. And I'd say Liam, from his interviews after the match yesterday, doesn't know himself.
Yeah.
In a way, if we keep changing managers, is that the answer either? I don't know. But like, maybe he'll turn around now to a cohort of them, you know, to the likes maybe of the Sean Hayes of this world, Sean Kennelly, you know, to Andrew Armand, to, you know, Johnny Ryan, Connor Stakelham, to Dara Stakelham, all these, let's go. You know what? It's over to you now. And let's just see if they're going to be a better performance and maybe a more honesty in the performance, like, and just a more workmanlike performance, really. And see what way that goes, because it's hard to see the same group of players going out against Clare next week, if to be totally honest. I'd say there will be changes, and I'd say it will be kind of a, I call it what you want, to change in the guard and thing to say, look, here's the next group coming out. Let's see what we've got, lads, and let's see if we'll be something to work with next year. I'd imagine that's what it's going to be, Jeff.
Well, if they don't do something drastic, they're going to get a hiding off Clare as well. And the fact, Rory, that Clare have something to play for, and the other game, there's so much on the line. Clare aren't going to take any chances. I think everybody expects that they're going to win that game. So the real jeopardy is probably in the other game then at the weekend, because of what Waterford have done. And Just moving on to that game, the emotion around them of what they're going to be feeling this weekend after, you know, Davy Fitz, the way that he'll be approaching this one is saying, we were hard done by, we should have been in this game, we should have been given a draw there, we should have had something out of it. They are going to go absolute blood and thunder at the All-Ireland Champions on the weekend, and there's probably more jeopardy there because I think everybody expects that Clare are going to get the job done.
But were they hard done by, Jackie? I mean,
I'm not saying they were. I'm just saying Davy Fitz's mentality will be.
And I know the question you're asking. But like, I thought the penalty that they got was soft enough. I think he was falling over. I would have felt quite aggrieved from a Clare perspective if that was given against me. I thought Liam Gordon, who I thought had an absolutely excellent match, by and large, the umpire in the end, you know, maybe people said he guessed. Grant, he still did the right decision. Was eventually gotten to. The scenes at the end were outrageous. I mean, absolutely disgraceful scenes, to be honest. We talk like there's initiatives up and down the country. We got told as a club ourselves, we were bottom of the list because we can't get referees, that you're going to be the first club to suffer if we can't get enough referees to go out and referee games because you're not producing. Every club in the country is under pressure to try and produce referees. And then we see scenes like that at the end. To me, totally, totally unacceptable and like outrageous carry on. And to be honest, you would hope the Munster Council or the GAA take action because I think they need to send a signal and a message here. You can't behave like that. It's just not the forum. It's not the right place for it. It creates a terrible message. And it actually added a sour note to what was a fantastic game, which had everything. And by the way, I do honestly believe that Clare were the better side and probably deserved their win in the end anyway. So look, I think from Waterford's perspective, they need to park all of this chip on the shoulder stuff and excuses and all of those. They have a one-off game now to save their season. Two out of the three outcomes will save their season, a draw or a win potentially knocking Limerick out. I don't see them going into that game without any hope. Maybe Conor Prunty might make it back by then. That'll make a big difference to them defensively. Depends on how bad that injury is. But, you know, look, I think they'll have their work cut out. There's no denying that going into the Gaelic rounds. You wouldn't give them too much of a chance. But I think their performances have been so consistent, they will have some hope going into it. But whinging and moaning about referees.
Look, but I think that's the siege mentality that Davy Fitz teams have. Shane, you played under him in LIT. You know exactly what it's going to be like this week. Because whether rightly or wrongly they were aggrieved by it, that's the motivation for them to go into the bear pit of playing the All-Ireland Champions. It's probably the perfect storm for them.
Yeah, that's it. Like, that's the way Davy would have approached the Cork game this year, like down at Walsh Park. Said, no one's given us a hope. No one thinks you're good enough. Everyone is against you, you know, that kind of way. And would have been the same for the Tip game. Yesterday now, you know, Brian Lowen's record against Davy is still intact anyway. He still hasn't lost him in Championship hurling. So I think that's become less and less of a factor now. But, you know, it's still something for Brian Lowen and Davy. I know they're not maybe the best of friends, but like, I'm sure they don't write Christmas cards to each other. That's well known, like, you know. But, you know, Brian Lowen still has that one over on him as well. But it will be that siege mentality, Jackie. Yeah, it will be, like, because they'll say, look, again, we were robbed. Everything was against us. It was a 65. I know. I know the picture going around is of the umpire in the back and he can't see through the players. And, you know, it was a call. Like, he was kind of, we were watching on the screens, like, at Thurles, and he was kind of like doing the Macarena down low, like, kind of saying, waving the hands. It was like, oh, he wasn't sure. And then he was like going, oh, yeah, 65, yeah. And then, but you look, at the end of the day, everyone has watched it back. Whether he guessed it or not, right? It was a 65. So, look, and we were saying, Mac Rogers took it a foot inside the line. Yeah, but look, he took it. Like, I mean, as a player, he's going to take it. It's up to the linesman or someone to tell him, take it back. Like,
I mean, and the lineman was about 10 foot away from him.
How many 65s will we see taken like that over the next weekend? Loads. So they'll feel aggrieved. They'll feel hard done by. Performance-wise, I thought Clare were the better team overall. Watched it back last night. I think Clare made hard work of that match, to be honest.
They did.
People will say it's the three-week thing and stuff like this. Hard to know with that, what way that goes. Is it freshness or are they a bit rusty? It's hard to know. Like, people.
Would you be worried, though, Shane, that there's a bit of a trend there? Like, they did the same against Limerick. 8-9 points up and they let them back in the game. They did it again. Like, and they got away with it yesterday.
It's the happy medium 2 weeks, like. or is every yeah. team like yeah. they love yeah. 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks. You know, it's hard to know what to do the week you go back. When do you have your A versus B? Are we having it this Saturday or we have it the following Saturday? Maybe small things like that. Then again, the counter that I suppose is that if Cork lost the tape yesterday, first thing would have been said is that they're wrecked tired after January yeah. before. So it's hard to know. Probably maybe 3 weeks doesn't seem to suit this Clare group, and they'll go into it. I'd be absolutely astonished if they don't win the match in Thurles. Then, you know, the other flip side of it is, like, there is a chance, like, you know, there is a chance, right, that with the magic of this is that if Waterford can win, right, that Limerick are out of the championship. And because if people aren't aware, like, say, Clare will be on 6, Waterford will be on 5, Limerick are on 4, Cork are on 4, Cork have the head-to-head. That's just where it's at. So I think the focus of that alone for the Limerick lads, that there's no more safety net. And they seem to yeah. always...
They love that.
They love yeah. that.
They love
the
it.
Last
yeah.
few years, when the safety net is gone, it seems to bring out the best in them. And I'd say they will feel, you know, really, really aggrieved by maybe some of their performances as individuals from the Cork thing, for the Cork game. And they will be, people will be saying they were tired, that Dermot Burns was targeted, you know, that, you know, are they coming to an end? Is their crack starting to appear? And I'd say, Caroline Currid or no Caroline Currid, these lads will just relish this. And I think there is a massive, massive Limerick performance coming at the weekend. I really do. I think it'll be have to be everything so spot on right and a bit of lady luck for Waterford to try and get something over it. But I think Limerick's best performance of the year, and I could be wrong, and I could be on here next week with you lads saying I got it wrong, but I think Limerick's best performance of the year is coming this weekend for all those factors at home as well. Because by geez, there'll be some Limerick crowd in there to support them. And deservedly so. But that's why I feel I can't see anything except a Limerick victory. And if this is played in the Waterford dressing room, if they need the kind of this, like to me, like to be played to get them up for it, I think they're nearly bet before the game starts. So, but yeah, I think there's a storm coming in more ways than one. I think there's a good bit of rain forecast the next few days, but I think they're in the form of Limerick is coming this weekend. Yeah.
It was very interesting, Jackie, yesterday. We were in the lower stand and it was very difficult because the crowd was so big. It was 44,000 inside Thurles yesterday. So it was very difficult to get reception on your phone. So nobody knew what the score was, or some people knew and some people were getting a bit of reception in relation to what was happening in Ennis. And just after, I think either Tip or Cork, one of them ran out onto the field. There was a third big, huge cheer came kind of drifting from the back of the stands all the way down, because word had gone around that the goal had, that Waterford had managed to get a draw, and a draw was the disaster result for nearly both teams, but particularly for Cork. And next thing, the word filtered that, you know, Clare were after getting a last minute point to win it. And I was kind of saying, like, the chances are if Cork end up getting through by virtue of that next week, depending on how the results play out, if I was Mark Rogers, I'd be keeping a close eye on the post, because there could be hampers coming in from all directions. You
know? Oh God. Yeah. Look, so much drama to look forward to. Can't wait for the Munster at the weekend. Let's finish off on Leinster then, because to me, the opportunity of the weekend, you talk about Waterford, you talk about everyone. I think it was Dublin at the weekend, Shane, in Parnell Park on Saturday night. A lot of friends who were in at it and talked about just the brilliantness of this Dublin team and the way that they've been playing. Is it an opportunity lost that they didn't seal it, or is it a glimpse of how brilliant this Dublin team could potentially be, and maybe they do get to a Leinster final and beyond?
Yeah, maybe, yeah. And maybe, you know, maybe they'll take the confidence from it. Like, as you said, like, people that were at it are just, you know, even watching it back there yourself, like, Dublin were, they heard well, like, they heard really, really well. And you know what? It was kind of maybe one of the, what we call him, the unsung heroes for Kilkenny. Like, normally it's TJ you look to, and to be fair to Owen Cody, he was good now. Like, 1-3 scored, albeit, I don't know how many steps were taken before the goal was scored. And like, you talk about feeling aggrieved and stuff. I'm sure Mahal Donoghue will be looking back saying, come here, that I don't know how that wasn't a free out, like, do you know what I mean? Like, you know, with the amount of steps was taken to lead up to the goal. But these are small things anyway. But it was John Donnelly, like, wasn't it? 7 points from play.
Again.
It's some clipping, like, I mean, he's popping up with three, four, five points, like, you know, and 7 points the last day. So he, like, he dragged them over the line, like, you know, he got them there. And Dublin, I think they'll feel aggrieved, but you know what, Jackie, I still think they'll be looking at Galway going, yeah, you know what, we can win this game. I mean, let's be honest, like, if Antrim don't go down to 14 men at that pinnacle stage on the second half, like, afterwards, then, you know, it just becomes Galway with the penalty that they win as well. You know, looking back at it again, like, no more so than the Waterford penalty. It was soft enough, like, wasn't it? You know, I think Conor Cooney's penalty was soft enough. Like, and he buries it. And just the whole dynamic of the thing changes. They're down to 14. Like, I just don't know where Galway are at again. I still think they don't know. But I'd say Dublin will be more than a long, like, more so than in recent years, they will be absolutely relishing this challenge now of going up to Salt Hill and playing Galway. They're in a good place. I think they have their best players playing in their best positions in the form of, like, say, Owen O'Donnell.
That's the key thing, isn't it?
Like, Owen O'Donnell is playing really well full back. Like, Chris Crummy pops up at 3 points for wing back the other day. I went to see him at the start of the year playing a league match. It was his first match back in nearly 2 years, was it, for Dublin, playing Limerick above in Croke Park League. And it just, you know, you could see it in him. He wasn't at the pace, or wasn't at the pitch, but he has grown more and more into it. He was exceptional. I think Conor Burke, when we're talking about midfielders being an all-star form, and Darragh Fitzgibbon is probably, Dave Fitzgerald, these kind of guys, they're going to be front runners. Conor Burke has to be in the reckoning with what he's doing, you know, around midfield. Like, 1-1 again the other day there. He's been brilliant. Danny Sutcliffe popping up then as well. Donald Burke obviously is Donald Burke doing what he's doing. Sean Curry. What I'm trying to get to here, Jackie, is Dublin have their best players playing right now. And they're, you know, regardless, they're all back from injury. They seem to be in good place. They're backing up to that the 5 points they have wasn't by fluke. The 5 points they have wasn't catching three other teams on a bad day. It was Drew at Wexford, right, fair enough, they got the 2 goals. They bet Carlow, see what Carlow are about. They bet Antrim, demolished Antrim, we can see what Antrim are about. And they probably, when they look back at it, had the chances to win that game against Kilkenny. So now they have to be going to Salt Hill going, don't mind qualifying, let's get to a Leinster final. And I think they have to believe that they really are good enough to go up and beat Galway up there. Because, as we said, we just don't know. We just don't know what Galway, no more so than Wexford, it's either first gear or sixth gear with them. They were in sixth gear at the weekend. They're going to be in some form as well. And I'm sure they're going to be saying, they're like, why can't we get to Leinster final? Like, we don't have anything to fear about Kilkenny over the last 3 years. We can see they're not going all guns firing. Like, we're not going to let John Donnelly score 7 points from play. So, like, why can't we go at this as well? Like, so again, it's making for a great last day in Leinster as well. Like, Dublin, I give Dublin every chance. I think they'll go up and they'll give a great performance up there, and the confidence that they'll take. I don't think they'll be too demoralised, Jackie, is what I'm trying to say, from the Kilkenny thing, because they performed so well. I think they'd be more demoralised if they had got the bait and they got there 2 years ago. I think they got bit by 17 points up there in the championship of Kilkenny. And I think this time now they know, yeah, we're good enough. Yeah, we've got our best team there. And let's go up and give this one right go, and let's get to a Leinster final and prove everybody wrong. Like, there's no way you could have foreseen Dublin being in a Leinster final based on what was going on early doors in the league and stuff. And now it's in their own hands, and now it's in Wexford's own hands, and just makes for a great last weekend there, doesn't it? Like,
okay, what about the psychology of Galway then? Because I feel like we've been talking about them for weeks on here, Shane, saying, oh, sure, this will be the week. Even Jackie Tyrrell just talking about what's Henry going to get out of them. It has to be now. I feel like we've been saying it has to be now since the league, and we just haven't seen it. If I was a Galway supporter right now, I don't know if I'd be confident that A, they know what their best team is, and that B, they can win a Leinster title and beyond this year. There's too many unknowns about them right now.
There is, yeah. Like, is there any match you could say that they're like, you're going away from it going, it's Galway heard farewell today? Not really, like. So again,
yeah,
it's just hard. I don't know. Does anyone know, like, what the story is or where they're at? Like, but, like, even psychologically, like, you're talking about getting to Leinster final, right? And, like, say, when it comes to Leinster medals, I think Kilkenny are fine in that regard. And I know, and it's in winning things the last few years. Like, I think their focus is they're getting closer and closer and closer to trying, you know, to becoming All-Ireland champions. You know, they're backing it up by getting to All-Ireland finals. Like, and I just think Galway, like what I'm trying to say is who needs to get to a Leinster final more? For me, it's Galway. Like, I think they have to win something. Like, they just, there's nothing there to show. There's no cup of what form, any shape or form on the table. No, under Henry Shefflin's time there, like, for the group to say, yeah, we did it. Like, we won something. Like, I think they have to get to a Leinster final. And I think, obviously, Dublin turn them over, it'd be absolutely massive for Dublin and for Dublin hurling, and it'd be real drive or boost that they need, even to get the support behind them again. Because the footballers is the number one show in town. Like, a lot of people don't even hardly know four or five of the Dublin hurlers. That's just the way it is. But I think Galway, like, and you're right, Jackie. I know we're beating the drum here. Like, we just keep saying, you know, this will be it now. This will be the day. Whatever's in them will have to come out now. And we thought we'd see it against Wexford, maybe. No, and thought we'd see it against Antrim. And look, while the scoreline is, it is what it is. I mean, you ask anybody who was at it or, you know, maybe involved with the teams, that Antrim did a lot of the hurling up to that sending off. Like, and it just, when the penalty, it just deflated them completely. Like, so I just don't know. I think Galway they have to get to Leinster final, and they nearly have to be winning it, like, to have something to show for the group they have, the effort they've done over the last 2 years. And, like, let's say if they don't, like, is the writing on the wall for a lot of things, regardless, you know? So, yeah, I don't know. It's hard to know, Galway, really, is, you know, I mean, more so in my own county, but it's just the talent they have. You're just, it's a bit of a head scratcher to know why they're not pushing on and doing more with them, like.
If you'd have told me that we'd be at this position with the final round of matches, that Tip would be gone and there'd be soul searching going on, that Galway would still be waiting to find something, that Dublin seemed to be the form team in Leinster, there's so many storylines that you would have said, nah, just don't see it, that Carlo would have drawn with Kilkenny. Isn't it unbelievable to be going into the final round of matches and to have already had so much has happened in the hurling season? Like, it's pretty phenomenal even when you look back over the course of 3 or 4 weeks.
Come here, it's unreal. In 1 year, Jack, in 1 year of hurling, if Carlo drew a Kilkenny, that would be the hurling story of the year.
Yeah.
It really would, like. But it just got lost in the mayhem of Cork and Limerick that night, below in Cork, of what happened and the way it ended up and, you know, just the occasion of it all. So, look, there has been so many twists and turns and everything. I do feel that we're, you know, in Munster anyway, we're getting to a point where, you know, the best teams probably will be the teams coming out. In Leinster, it's getting to a point where, you know, Kilkenny, right, you know, they'll play Wexford, they're on 6 points. But, you know, still Wexford could, you know, could get the win and be on 7 points. Dublin could get on the win and be on 7 points. And you could have Dublin on 7, Wexford on 7, Kilkenny on 6, and Galway gone. Like, so you just, that could easily happen this weekend.
Easily,
So I just think, like, obviously, we always lean maybe towards Munster. It's just the matches are so close. But look, Leinster has stepped up. Maybe have they stepped up? And I mean this now with all respect, right? Have they stepped up because Carlo and Antrim have got closer to the likes of the Galways, who just don't seem to be performing at all, and Kilkenny without lads, with lads missing? Like, what I'm trying to say, if Galway and Kilkenny had everyone and were hurling to the potential they could be, I'd say right now, they'd probably both be in the Leinster final. But because Wexford have come on so much, you know, they're playing with such confidence, because Galway have not playing well, because Kilkenny have been missing lads, I think that has made Leinster really, really exciting. And I hope that makes sense, Jackie, what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, no, right? Totally. And I think, in fairness, the Leinster Championship, Jackie Tyrrell was slagging us on here as well. He was like, when are you going to leave with Leinster? And I did make him a promise on Thursday, when we are looking ahead, I will leave with Leinster, because there is jeopardy in every single game in Leinster this weekend.
There is, because the thing is so close.
Yeah,
it's been so close. It's been... massive credit to Carlo and Antrim. I know they don't, like, Darren hates it, like, you know, he hates these sentimental victories or these moral victories, but you know what? They're actually getting proper victories and proper results now, and it can only be good for hurling, you know, especially in Carlo as well, you know, what they're trying to do, like, and where they're learning their trade probably is in the likes of going playing Kilkenny in challenge matches, going playing Wexford teams in challenge matches, going playing all these teams, and They're seeing the fruits of all that great work now. So yeah, look, makes for a great last day. It really, really does, Jackie. And a few more twists and turns, I'd say. You know, it'll be. You know what? We will lose a big gun in Munster or Leinster, won't we? Like, in like who that will be? I don't know. Maybe it could be Galway. Maybe. Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't like to be making my predictions now for this weekend. We'll leave the hurling there for now, Shane. I would say have a peaceful week. Have a thoughtful week, I would say, about Tipperary hurling and what you're going to do. Hopefully the miners pull it out of the bag.
Yeah, and we look forward. Going in there now with Joanne, and we're bringing in the three kiddies. The minor matches and the 20 matches. They're nice matches to bring the kiddies. Nice environment. So look, we'll go in and we'll support them on, and hopefully we'll get a victory there in the Gaelic grounds tonight.
Good. Well, fingers crossed, yeah. And for everyone else, we'll chat to you later in the week as we look ahead to that final round of matches. Don't forget to like and follow your podcast wherever you get them, and we'll talk to you soon.
There's the whistle, it's over.